You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlowe FM.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. And how are you, sir?
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. You are a man who I've shared a bedroom with for many, many years and listening to Capital Radio back in the 80s and 90s.
Yes, so, I'm sure that you went to bed listening to me, droning on.
No, it being the most entertaining and professional broadcaster, no droning on going on at all.
Thank you for being a glutton for punishment.
So, welcome to Marlowe FM, and in particular, welcome to the Hearing Health Hour between now and 10 o'clock. So, for those people listening who have not come across your good self, can you give us a 2-minute potted history of who you've done, of where you've been, who you've interviewed, and so on, so people realise quite what the superstar you are?
A legend in my own lifetime.
A legend, indeed.
Okay, so I started really as and this is actually where my hearing journey started, because when I was about 19, I was a sort of trainee DJ.
Right.
And I was doing mobile discos and things like that, and I was about to go to university. And I met, through a weird series of circumstances, one of the biggest DJs on Radio 1 at the time, Emperor Roscoe.
Oh, gosh, I remember Emperor Roscoe.
Well, I became his personal assistant.
Right.
And I would sit in on his show on Radio 1. And, in fact, I moved in to his flat in West Kensington. And we shared this incredible rock and roll flat with its own studio. And that's where I learned studio technique. Anyway, long story short, Roscoe loved hearing himself and the music at very, very, very high levels. Uh-huh. And Radio 1 in those days, there was no health and safety. And Roscoe had a 200-watt amp, which was connected to his headphones. I mean, it's the loudest thing you've ever heard. And I got used to listening to music at very loud levels. Then I went to, from Radio 1, I went to Capital Radio in London when Capital started in 1973. Once again, there was no health and safety. I became known by the engineers as I was hated by a lot of the engineers because I kept blowing the speakers in the studio. I wanted them so loud. So every month or so,
that's a great story.
And they'd have to replace the cones. I introduced loads of bands on stage, from Led Zeppelin, The Who, Eagles. I've been very fortunate. Bruce Springsteen. I've been very fortunate, and I have sat on the side of stages. When I was at Nebworth and I introduced the Stones at Nebworth, I sat on the side of the stage, as I did with Led Zeppelin. And, I have been exposed to very loud music for a very long time. And doing a daily show on Capital, which I did 6 days a week on Capital, and, wearing the headphones that, you and I have to wear when we are on the air, I got used to very loud music.
And again, you had the headphone level turned up because you'd become so used to listening to things at a high level of volume that you carried on doing that.
Exactly.
And as you mentioned before, there was no health and safety in those days. There was nobody to remind you that hearing noises at a high volume does potentially damage your hearing.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And that's really where my hearing journey started.
So when did you first notice that your hearing was perhaps deteriorating, is that the right word to use, was suboptimal, shall we say?
Probably when I was in my late 50s.
Right. No, so
late
50s. You managed for early. Quite some time before it was apparent that your hearing was becoming impaired.
Yeah, and then my hearing actually got bad quite quickly. And I did what a lot of people do, which is I kind of ignored it.
Yes.
You know, we would go to a restaurant and there would be loud ambient noise, and I would have difficulty in hearing what my wife said in a loud environment. If I would go to a board meeting of a company, and I'd sit, you know, in a, around a very large boardroom table, where I would invariably be one of the oldest around the table, and I had difficulty hearing what people were saying. And of course, you don't want to make a big thing out of it, because you, I mean, there is this prejudice, I suppose. You know, there's no prejudice about wearing glasses, because our eyesight isn't great.
Yeah.
But there does seem to be this residual prejudice to people having to wear hearing aids.
I mean, did you find as a first step that you began to do some lip reading, even though without having been trained to lip read, you found that by looking at people...
Exactly that. Because if your brain can't decipher the sounds, then your brain looks for other ways to figure out what's going on and what's being said. And in fact, that was the trigger for me to get my hearing tested, because I was reading an article about dementia.
Right.
My mother is 97, and she's in a nursing home with, you know, severe dementia, Alzheimer's. And I was reading an article about her Alzheimer's when she started to get really quite bad. And there was a link to hearing loss. And the link is exactly as you say, that when you try and lip read, the frontal temporal lobe, I think I'm right in saying that, because the brain is working so hard to decipher what is going into your ears, it can overheat.
Right.
And there is empirical evidence that shows that when that frontal temporal lobe overheats, overworks, it can be a precursor to dementia. And that scared the life out of me.
Right.
And so I went to a local chemist and had a hearing test. And they said, yeah, you do need hearing aids. And they were really quite aggressive in trying to flog me a very expensive pair of hearing aids. There is never a bad time to listen to the Beatles.
Absolutely not. I often have the Beatles featuring on my show. Also, I quite like some of the other versions of Beatles tracks played by different people. One of my favourite. Have you come across an album by a guy called Al Di Meola? He's a classical guitarist. He does guitar versions of Beatles tracks.
Yes, I do. I vaguely remember actually playing some of him, because for a while I was on Classic FM.
Right.
I really enjoyed that, because my wife is a classically trained musician, and she has a string quartet. And she actually said, why don't you do a show on Classic FM? And I did. And in fact, the chap who was the programme director at the time was my original programme director at Capital Radio. Wonderful man,
right.
Called Michael Bucht, who you might remember as the Crafty Cook.
Oh, gosh, yes, I remember the Crafty Cook, yeah.
Yeah, well, he was the original programme controller at Capital Radio. Wonderful man.
Right. And, the Crafty Cook was a big Beatles fan, was he?
Yeah. So back to my...
let's go back to... Stop talking about the Beatles and Al Di Meola, who's going to be the next track, by the way, is going to be an Al Di Meola version of the Beatles, since you said never bad time to listen to the Beatles. We'll save that for about 10 minutes' time. So far, okay. We've talked about your hearing journey, Nicky, and you've identified really the cause of the problem, which was too many years listening to music at too high a recorded level. Spending too much time with noisy headphones and sitting next to big banks of noisy speakers at concerts, because in those days people didn't know any better, basically. So
no, and it also used to be a kind of badge of pride, you know, going to rock gigs and saying things like, God, it was so good it made my ears bleed.
Yeah.
You know, it was a badge of pride.
Yeah.
For, you know, us kind of boomer generation.
Do ears actually bleed, or is that just a phrase?
No, that is just a phrase.
Just a phrase, but, yeah.
No, you'd come out of gigs. I would come out of gigs and my ears would be ringing. I wouldn't be able to hear anything until they sort of calm down. So, you know, I have abused my ears. There's no question of that. And so I went and had a hearing test at a local chemist, you know, free hearing test. And they were quite aggressive in trying to sell me a pair of hearing aids. Right. I should actually go back and say that a few years prior to this, I was on an aeroplane and the plane had a problem and it had to descend very quickly, and I blew one of my eardrums.
Oh gosh!
You know, when
you
come down in a plane, and it was really painful, and my right eardrum had to be repaired in surgery.
Right.
So, and I got very friendly with the surgeon, a professor guy who, you know, is a brilliant surgeon, a brilliant ear surgeon. And I went to him and said, look, you know, I've been told that I need hearing aids, and he gave me a hearing test. And he said, look, there is someone that used to work with me who, you know, is brilliant, and you should go and see her. And it was someone called Selma Becker at Help in Hearing.
Yeah.
In Marlowe or
Farnham Common.
The other one.
Farnham Common.
Yeah. Farnham Common. And I knew Selma through her husband, Jeremy, because Jeremy was Mike Oldfield's PA. This sounds like a Kelvin McKenzie headline. I was Mike Oldfield's manager for about 18 months. And so I knew Jeremy quite well, and I knew Selma through Jeremy. Anyway, I went to see Selma. And the thing about hearing aids is you can go into Boots, you can go into, you know, any place and buy hearing aids. They're ubiquitous. It's not the hearing aids. I mean, although the technology is, of course, important, I'll talk about technology a bit later. The most important thing, if you're thinking of getting hearing aids, is how they are tuned and adjusted to your particular hearing loss.
Right.
Now, because I've spent so many years listening to music and producing programs and editing tape. In those days, you know, you would get a splicing block and razor blade and you'd cut tape.
I remember those days.
Well, I mean, it was brilliant. I mean, these days it's obviously much easier. But I loved the fact that you could sort of manipulate the tape and put a chinagraph mark on it and cut it with a razor blade. So I am very used to nuances in sound. It's not just the level, but it's the quality of the sound. I'm very, very used to that. So when Selma, when I had my first pair of hearing aids from Selma, she spent a lot of time with me going backwards and forwards to Farnham Common, tuning them to my particular hearing loss.
And when roughly was this? You said your first hearing aids from Selma, was that how long ago?
This was about 8 years ago,
right.
I think, 8-9 years ago. I've now got another pair, different pair, and the new technology, which is incredible. It's a step change, actually, from the first pair I had. And when I first put them on, I remember I came back. We live near Hampstead, right next to Hampstead Heath. And I went for, I had these hearing aids in, and I went for a walk in the woods. And I heard for the first time in years birdsong.
Yeah.
It was the most beautiful sound. It was so exciting to hear it. I actually had to stop walking and just close my eyes and take in the sound. And that's when I realised that, you know, hearing aids, the word aids is kind of pejorative.
Right.
They're not, for me, they're not hearing aids. They are hearing enhancers.
Yeah.
They make my hearing bionic, you know, better than it was before.
And because of the technology, they presumably work with selected frequencies. So, in other words, they're tuned to your particular hearing loss. Because I'm guessing, since it was birdsong that you were missing, that you were particularly missing the higher frequencies. And the last thing you'd want is hearing aids or hearing enhancers that would boost all the lower frequencies as well, because they'd become too loud.
Yeah, I mean, my hearing loss is particularly in the mid range, which is where the mid and the high range, where, you know, vocals are, speeches, which is why it was very difficult for me to hear things in restaurants. But I've now got, and it's not just the amplification, it's the, for me, it's the quality of the sound, and I've now got a pair of Oticon, and they're called Real, and it is a step change actually from the previous Oticon ones that I had, because the sound is so pure, I think is probably the best way to describe it. And in the previous ones, I had issues, and in fact everybody has issues with this, which wind noise, you know. We were down on the coast and there was a lot of wind noise. It's quite difficult to kind of make out what someone's saying because the wind gets amplified. But in these new ones, the way that it suppresses the wind is fantastic, actually.
So there are ways it does that rather than just simply boosting specifically sort of numbered frequencies.
Yeah, the ones that I've now got connect to my telephone, to my mobile, so when I've got them in, and I wear them all the time, except actually when I'm on the air, because when I'm on the air, I wear normal headphones, and I can't wear headphones and the enhancers. So they connect directly to my mobile, so, you know, I can hear it ring, and then I'm in my ears and just, you know, press answer.
Right.
And I'm speaking to someone, and if I'm walking down the street and I'm talking on my phone, and pausing while I'm listening, you know, people look at me like I'm really strange because they can't tell how I'm listening because the earpieces are, you know, so small. I can connect directly to the television if I want, so that the sound goes into, you know, directly into my ears. I can change, I have different modes, so if I want to listen to Spotify and listen to music, it has a different EQ, equalization tone, so that I can adjust the tone for music. It's they're great.
Sounds like you've become very well attuned to them and to operate them as well. Do you control it from your phone? Do you control all these functions from your phone, or do you have to go?
Yes, I've got an app.
Yeah.
And say if I'm in a loud restaurant, there is a special setting on the app which particularly reduces the background noise, because in some restaurants, particularly if there's a, you know, quite a low ceiling and there's lots of people, you know, it is very loud. And there is an app on here where I can just tap enhance speech, and that reduces the ambient level and increases the speech. It's almost imperceptible, actually. You don't realise that it's doing it. But the one time that I do realise that I'm wearing hearing aids, most of the time I forget. And there are sometimes, and this is true, and Selma has helped me out a couple of times, when I put them on in the morning and, you know, maybe take a phone call or something, and then I go and have a shower, and I get into the shower and I actually forget that I'm wearing them. I've got them soaked a couple of times.
Did they dry out okay?
They did dry out okay, yes.
Yeah.
But the one time that I realise that I am wearing them is when I take them off at night and put them on the charger by my bedside table. And as I take them out of my ears, it's like a switch, you know, it's just right. been turned off. It's really quite noticeable.
Is it like someone's put your head in a vat of cotton wool or something?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It is that cotton wool sound.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's when I notice that I'm wearing them. But 99% of the time during the day, I completely forget about them.
Brilliant.
They're just part of me now.
The last couple of things I want to ask you about, first of all, is hearing loss now less perceived as a disability? I would agree with you that it is considered much less of a disability now. It's much more common. And is that due to the more hidden nature of hearing aids these days? They're less obvious and they don't whistle so much?
Yes, I do think that because hearing aids, you know, when I was growing up in the 50s, you know, hearing aids were, you know, massive. People would wear sort of big boxes around their necks, or have, you know, hearing trumpets. So yes, it's the fact that they're much smaller now, they're less invasive, they're less obvious. But I also think, you know, to call it a disability, you know, if you've got long sight or short sight and you wear glasses, it's not a disability,
right?
Is it?
No, I would absolutely agree with you.
I think people's perception of hearing loss is changing. And if anyone is listening to Marlowe FM this morning and is considering hearing aids, or if you, like me, go into restaurants and you find it difficult to hear the person opposite you, if you're lying in bed and the person next to you is speaking to you and you can't quite hear what they say, if you think that you are suffering from a bit of hearing loss, take my advice. Don't wait. There's no stigma attached to this. Go and get your hearing checked. You can get it checked for free on the NHS. Just go and get it checked. And then take it from there. But if you are at all concerned about your hearing, particularly if you're sort of, you know, over 50, then get it checked. And the fact is that, you know, lots of young people now, you know, they're all walking around with headphones and earbuds. How many people do you see walking around now with, you know, white Apple earbuds?
It's
ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to do great things for their hearing in time. So, you know, don't be like me. Don't wait. Just get it checked. And you'll thank me for it. Believe me.
Yeah. Nikki, it's been fantastic chatting to you this morning. Thank you for making time to come onto Marlowe FM.
You're more than welcome.
And sharing your hearing journey.
You are listening to the Hearing Health Hour with Chris Seremba here on Marlowe FM.